Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Good Monday, everybody. This is Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. We're at 800-449-8255. First, thank you, Dr. Michael Savage, for lending me your microphone today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the South Carolina primary and its meaning and its results and what's going on in the campaign right now. We're going to be talking, too, about a lot of other things, including especially the State of the Union address coming up tomorrow night. We know what Obama is going to say. We know he's going to be angry when he says it, and we know what the responses should be. I'm going to be talking a little bit later about what's, we hope, is going to come from Governor Mitch Daniels, Indiana Republican, who's going to be responding to the President's State of the Union address and calling him out on his failed policies on the economy, calling him out on his failed policies on energy, calling him out on his failure to try to do anything to help our economy. But first, let's get right to it. The South Carolina primary last Saturday, big results. Everyone thought, well, not everyone. Most people thought that the establishment Republicans were going to have an easy time. Newt Gingrich was fighting, but yes, Mitt Romney had it all under control. Well, surprise, surprise. We now have a result which puts Mr. Romney back on his heels. He lost big time. He lost among every demographic group you can name. In South Carolina, Newt Gingrich made a clean sweep. He made it among young people, old people, men, women, different religions, all the exit polling I was looking at. I was looking at it quite a bit last night. There wasn't anything I could see which showed a dent in Newt Gingrich's strategy. Now, where does it go from here? If you see the reactions to Newt Gingrich's win, I think they're very telling. They're very telling for a lot of reasons because people are trying to find the reason for it. Why is Newt Gingrich suddenly in the lead? Why is Newt Gingrich succeeding so well? Why did Mitt Romney take a big blow? Now, a lot of people are talking today, and I think there's some truth to it. They're talking today that the people of South Carolina were looking for a scrappy guy. They want someone who's going to take it to Obama, and it's going to be someone who's going to have to do that in order to win in November. I don't think there's much doubt about that. And, yeah, Newt Gingrich is a very scrappy guy. We saw that in the debates. We saw that in the cross-talk between him and the different candidates in the debates, and we saw it when he took on the media. But there's more to it than that. It's not just that Mitt Romney is kind of tepid. And yeah, he is. He's a little lukewarm. He's not a bad guy. He's a good candidate. He might be a pretty decent president. But the basic bottom line is Newt Gingrich is a big contrast. Newt Gingrich is so really ready to battle. He's always ready to rumble, and people, I think, appreciate that. But there's more going on than that. And let me just tell you where I am, and I'd like to hear from you. We're at 800-449-8255. I think there's a big surge here for Newt Gingrich, and it goes a lot deeper than just that. There's two big things going on here. Number one, Republicans and conservatives especially are ready for an ideological candidate. And what do I mean by that? Obviously, someone who has core beliefs, someone who is not shy about talking about them, and has a depth of knowledge to support them. And that's what Newt Gingrich, I mean, clearly, whether you like him or hate him, And frankly, I'm undecided between the two, and let's not get into the others, but it's really between the two, between Romney and Gingrich. It's not a toss-up, in my judgment, but Newt Gingrich clearly is the ideological candidate. And when he talks about Mitt Romney as the Massachusetts moderate, some of that sticks because some of it's true. And the point really comes down to Americans have sought, conservatives have sought, an ideological candidate. We haven't had one since Ronald Reagan. Now, Gingrich is no return of Ronald Reagan, but what Gingrich is someone who is an ideological candidate. And the other big thing that's going for Newt Gingrich right now that is not going for Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich is comfortable in his own skin. Now, yeah, okay, he's got a big ego. Who in politics doesn't? Now, some people say that Newt Gingrich's ego is too big, and that might be true. But the point of the matter is he's comfortable in his own skin. When you look at Mitt Romney and you look at the performances he made in those debates, you see a man who's not really comfortable in his own skin. And that, to me, is very troubling. I think Newt Gingrich is on a very big roll. Mitt Romney is not, for one big reason. If you look at Mitt Romney's performances, you see a man who appears to be, I guess embarrassed is the best word, by his own wealth, by his history in Bain Capital. He should be bragging about that. Don't we all want to be as rich or richer than Mitt Romney? I sure do. I would suspect that you do, too, if you're a capitalist. And who here isn't? Well, I guess those people who are on welfare and don't really want to work. I guess those people who don't participate in the capitalist system. Yeah, okay. They probably don't want to be as wealthy. They want to just sit back. But the point of the matter is the rest of us do want to be that wealthy. Very few of us get there. But do I feel jealous of Mitt Romney because he's wealthy? No. I'm admiring the guy. I mean, I've never had the business skill to make hundreds of millions of dollars. The point of the matter is Newt Gingrich is very comfortable with himself. Mitt Romney is not. And I think that's a big, big, big failing. You've got to see in a candidate the confidence of in himself. And, you know, Mr. Romney, you just really need to get over that. You need to reach down deep. I mean, Newt Gingrich is not going to be any harder on you than if you get the nomination Barack Obama is going to be. The people of South Carolina are not going to be more demanding of you than a national electorate is going to be in November. You've got to get over this, and I hate to use this word, but the right word is timidity. You've got to get over that. Why don't you get out there and defend yourself? What you're seeing now is Newt Gingrich going on to Florida, and he's doing going to do a good job. There's another debate tonight. I'm sure Newt Gingrich will debate very well, as he always does. What will Mitt Romney do? Will Mitt Romney be able to be as comfortable in his own skin? Will he stand up for himself? Today, and for the past day and a half since the South Carolina results came in, we didn't see that. We have not seen that, unfortunately, from Mitt Romney. What we have seen is someone who, dare I say it, well, I will dare, of course. The point of the matter is Mitt Romney seems to be panicking. Listen to what he said today about Newt Gingrich. This is a man who is now on the attack. Listen to his attack. Clip 50, please.
With Newt Gingrich, it's an October surprise every day. Let's make sure that we understand what was in the work product that he was providing to Freddie Mac. What was the contract? What did they pay him for? You don't pay someone $1.7 million just to write your history. Did he write their history? Let's see the work product. Did he lay out their history, or did he instead talk about policy and provide access to people in power?
It sounds to me like someone who is flailing a little bit. And again, Governor Romney, I'm not decided on you or Mr. Gingrich, but I got to tell you, you've got to look at what this campaign is going to demand of you. You have to have the courage to stand up for yourself. And as you saw in your Iowa campaign, as you saw in South Carolina, going strongly negative against Gingrich bounces off. It's just bounced off. That scurrilous ABC ad with Marianne Gingrich, we all heard it. We all saw it. We all heard the references to it. And when Newt Gingrich took on John King in that South Carolina debate, he hit it out of the park. Mitt Romney has got to recover from this negativity. Going after Newt Gingrich in this way doesn't evidence strength. Think about that, Mr. Romney. Please think about how you're going to be strong in the debate tonight. What are you going to do to win the votes in Florida? I'm not rooting for Romney. I'm not rooting for Gingrich because, quite frankly, there's a lot of faults in both of them. There's a lot of good in both of them. I'm not sure which would be better as a candidate. But right now, I look at Mitt Romney, and I see a guy who's at the stage of near panic. You can't be that sensitive. You've got to be able to go after the people who are going to go after you. And you need to be able to campaign in a way which defends yourself in stellar terms. not just to say, well, I didn't do anything wrong at Bain Capital. To stand up and say, I did well at Bain Capital. I did well for other people, and I did right. And all these attacks just don't register with me because what we did was good for society. This is a problem. This is a problem. If Mitt Romney is going to panic, if he is going to show weakness, are voters going to respect that? I don't. I don't think you do either. So you're going to end up with a situation where Newt Gingrich is going to go farther and faster than he might otherwise if Mitt Romney had the courage to stand up to him. So let's just see what's going on. We've got a lot more to talk about today. We're going to be joined later in the program by Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who was detained for a while by TSA. You know, the thugs who search everybody at the airports. I'm fed up with TSA. I suspect you are, too. But how dare they stop a Kentucky senator, any senator, a sitting senator? This is someone who is protected by the Constitution of the United States in very specific terms to say he can't be detained on his way to or from the Congress. TSA doesn't think that way. TSA doesn't care about the Constitution. We'll talk to Rand Paul. We'll talk about the Obama so-to tomorrow night and what Mitch Daniels may say in response. Jed Babin, contributing editor for the American Spectator and Spectator.com, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We're going to take a quick break and be right back to your calls. We're at 800-449-8255. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and this is the Savage Nation. We're at 800-449-8255, talking to you about the South Carolina results and the apparent panic that's setting in the Romney camp. What is going on there? Let's go to your calls. How about line one, Ernie in New York? Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great show. I tell you, not only is the Romney camp seem to be panicking, but I see a lot of the Republican establishment, they're absolutely beside themselves with the surge that Newt has been experiencing. I've been listening to people that invoke the name Ronald Reagan on a very regular basis, absolutely bashing this guy, talking about his unelectability. What Ronald Reagan would be rolling around in his grave if he knew what was going on. His command was never speak ill of other Republicans. And quite frankly, I'm a supporter of Newt. I've been for many years now. And I think the way of thinking where we need someone middle of the road, where it's the middle of the road politics that wins elections, I totally disagree. This guy Obama has brought this country so far to the left.
All right, Ernie, let me interrupt you because you're making an important point that I think I led off the show with. What you're saying, if I'm not mistaking it, is that Newt is an ideological candidate, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, someone who has a clear philosophy of government and is dedicated to it. We have not had an ideological candidate. If you look, my former boss, George H.W. Bush, great guy, not an ideological candidate, got his head handed to him by Bill Clinton. George Bush, 43. I still don't know what the man was. You know, I voted for him twice. Glad I did. But the point of the matter was he was not an ideological candidate. In between, you know, when we lose these elections, we've got people up there who are not ideological conservatives. And we in the conservative movement have been begging for an ideological conservative. Now, there are a lot of people out there who will argue that Newt Gingrich is not an ideological conservative. A lot of people will say he's not even a conservative. But, you know, again, it's a balance here. We're not going to go out and find the perfect candidate. What we're going to find is someone who is going to be good, who is going to be able to take the fight to Obama. That's one of the reasons, again, that Newt Gingrich is being very popular right now. He's getting a big result because he's a scrapper and people like that in him. But there's another thing that you said, Ernie, and the business of the GOP establishment panicking. It's not just them. It's not just them. There are people out there in the media who are more panicked than anybody else. Hey, great call, Ernie. Thanks for it. You're leading me into something that I needed to get to right now. If you listen to some of the people in the media, they are scared to death of Newt Gingrich. You know, Here comes Newt Gingrich. Everybody panic. Listen to Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews is just completely beside himself. He is the guy who had a tingle going up and down his leg when Obama spoke. He is the guy who said on election night in 2008 that it was his job to make Obama a successful president. Listen to what he's saying now. 44, please.
The only way that Mitt Romney can beat Newt Gingrich now is to catch up to him with his hatred of Obama, his willingness to take on the American establishment.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. His hatred of Obama? No. Gingrich and Romney, I have to say, both of them, they don't hate Obama. They hate Obama's policies. You see, that's part of the setup for the mainstream media. Oh, you hate Obama. You must be racist. Hatred. It's not hatred, Chrissy. It's a belief. It's an ideology. Listen, I think this was the same show. Howard Feynman talking about Gingrich. 49, please.
Dictatorial religious bigots who are the judges. Now, I heard him give virtually that same speech, and that was red meat to the people who were hungry for it. He did the same thing here tonight. He didn't speak to the whole country. He didn't even speak to the entire Republican Party. He spoke to the same hardcore people. And his calculation has to be that those are the votes he's going after, primarily in Florida. Anything else he gets is great.
Yeah, but what is it with these people in the media? You know what it is? And this is something I hope, and we're going to talk about this in the next hour, too, but I really hope that Mitch Daniels picks this up. Ladies and gentlemen, the big issue in this election, obviously, is going to be the economy. The next big issue has to be national security. But I'll tell you what, if the Republicans don't make issue number three, the media themselves, they are fools. Because you know, you, the American people, have been out there knowing there's something wrong in the media. How long has it been since we've had somebody willing to take them on? Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We're going to have to take another one of those break things, and we'll come right back to your calls, 800-449-8255. Stick with us.
Savage.
There's panic in the media. Newt is coming. A lot of people are panicking. It seems that maybe even the Romney camp is panicking. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We're at 800-449-8255. There's an awful lot of talk, that, well, who is more conservative? Let's see what you think. How about line four, David in Sacramento? Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I've been pulling my hair out hearing all these intelligent conservatives falling for this notion that, and I'm not saying that Mitt Romney is by any means, a conservative, but this notion that Newt Gingrich is somehow more conservative. I'm going down my little checklist here, and I can't find one thing that he's more conservative on. Illegal immigration, he's weaker on. Everything from illegal immigration to global warming to the individual federal mandate, I mean, I can't...
Whoa. He's weaker than Romney on the individual mandate? Romney is the one who authored it.
No.
And let's stick to the facts here. Newt Gingrich, and I'm not here to defend either one of these characters, but Newt Gingrich said he was for it when the Heritage Foundation was for it many years ago. He has repudiated it. Mitt Romney has yet to repudiate it. He has not done that. So I think let's just stick to the facts. Look, David, you may have an argument. There are a lot of things to say that either one of these guys is certainly not a perfect conservative. If you look at what Gingrich did in going along with some tax hikes, if you look at some of the things he did when he was Speaker, the whole point is he's not a consistent conservative. But look at Mitt Romney. I mean, Mitt Romney, and we've all seen the old TV commercial where he was sticking up for gun control laws. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to be said about both of these guys. So I don't think you can say that one is more conservative than the other, but I will tell you, I will tell you, I have interviewed both men on different occasions. Well, I've only interviewed Mr. Romney once, but it was a long interview. And I'm not convinced he's a conservative. I think Mr. Gingrich has some moments where he falls off the wagon. He has these flights of fancy. He has a bad idea, and he goes off with it. Like that sitting on the couch, that ad he made with Nancy Pelosi, you know, supporting the concept of global warming. Yeah, neither one of these guys is perfect. But I don't think you can sit down and go on any checklist and prove to me that one is more conservative than the other. Well, I think, frankly, it does lean towards Gingrich. I think he's got a better record on some very basic principles, and he has not flip-flopped on them. I'm still waiting for Mitt Romney to repudiate Romney Care. It's going to be, if he is the nominee, he is going to have that wrapped around his neck, and he will not be able to escape it.
Let me tell you, he has Newt Gingrich was for the individual federal mandate. Mitt Romney
Didn't I just say that?
That's
he did, but he repudiated it. Mitt Romney has not yet repudiated the individual mandate in Obamacare. Okay? He has yet to say that. So that's if you're relying on that to prove that Gingrich is less of a conservative, all I'm saying, David, is that your facts are wrong.
Immigration then. How about global warming? How about
Well, wait. We already talked about global warming. Let's talk about immigration. What Newt Gingrich is saying is that he would adopt this red card system, okay? That people who have been here for 25 or 30 years, you're not going to throw them out. You're going to give them a work permit, but they will not get a path to citizenship, okay? That's a lot better than what George Bush said. Now, Mitt Romney is saying they shouldn't be allowed to stay. Now, we have between 12 and 20 million illegal immigrants in this country. How are you? We can't even afford to round them up. I would love to see them all go home. I'd love to see a way to get them all out of this country and force them to go through the legal procedure. It's just not happening, David. So what Mitt Romney is saying something he knows bloody well he can't do. He knows something is not going to happen. So he may be pretending to be tougher. I just don't see that it works. I just don't see that he's serious, really, in considering that. I'd like to hear from both of them that they closed the border. I'd like to hear how they were going to do it. And I have not heard that very much from either one of them. All right. Hey, great call. Thanks for it. Ladies and gentlemen, look, you can be passionate for either one of these guys. And I think you probably should be. But right now, we have to be serious. Okay. We've been messing around. It's been a fun campaign for, the past 2-3 years. And let's face it, this campaign never stopped. Mitt Romney's been running for, 6 years now? The point of the matter is we have a duty to be serious. We have a duty to be really smart about these things and to be well-informed. You're an American voter. Most of the people listening to me today are going to be eligible to vote in November. It's your duty, damn it. You have to read things. You have to go back and do research, pick up a book, read a newspaper, go on the Internet. Look into these people. Don't just go off what you hear on the news. Don't just go off what somebody tells you over a beer. You have an obligation. It's your civic duty to go out and find out the truth and then make your own judgment. Make an informed judgment. All right, let's go back to the phones. okay, I see here Rick from Pittsburgh. This is not Senator Santorum calling, is it?
Now, don't hold that against me now.
I would not be at all dissuaded from talking to Senator Santorum. I would love to talk. Is this really you, Senator?
No, it's not. I wish it was.
Okay. All right. Well, Rick from Pittsburgh, whatever Rick it is, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I can't believe you just said the things you said about people doing their homework, because I travel a bit, and I'm fortunate enough to travel throughout the country and talk to different people on that. And I've got a couple things I would like to talk to you about. But what you
all right.
Newt, I feel the same way. I just question a couple things. Number one is he dedicated and passionate enough to reverse this health care plan that the same one junior plan that Romney implemented up in Massachusetts, which is a flop? That's one question. And number two is, I think that this is what I'm hearing from other parts of the country, especially in Pennsylvania, where Rick Santorum is from. I'm hearing from certain sources that Newt and Rick Santorum go back a long way, and they're very, very close friends. They came up together through the ranks. And
it's, yes, that's true.
And it's possible. Could you imagine Newt Gingrich offering Rick Santorum the VP position?
It would. No, I can't. I can't. He won't do that because he knows that Senator Santorum, and look, Rick Santorum is a really good guy, but he's not someone who would add something to the ticket. He's not going to be on the ticket. He's not going to be the presidential nominee, and he is not going to be the vice presidential nominee. The two are close. I mean, they've said it. They've said it on the air. They've said it in print. They do. They know each other for a long time. They like each other. But the point of the matter is Santorum's not going to be on the ticket. To your first point, I don't know. I can't sit here and say I'd place my hand on the Bible and swear to you that Newt Gingrich would do everything in his human power to repeal Obamacare. He says he will, but he's a politician. Will Romney do it? He says he will. Look, it's the problem you have with everybody who is in politics, not those of us who sit behind the microphone, those of us who sit behind the keyboard and write. You know, we are not trying to get elected to office. Stan Evans, one of the old wonderful thinkers and writers in conservative literature over the past, 50 years. He described it this way. He said, an awful lot of people come to Washington thinking they're going to drain the swamp, and when they get here, they figure out it's really a hot tub. Now, Gingrich has been here a long time. He knows the ins and outs. I don't think he'd be one who would want to go back on a campaign promise. I don't think Romney would either. The real question is, how do they get there? How do they get to the White House? And I'm looking, again, as we started the show, right now I'm seeing Newt Gingrich being a strong fighter, an intellectual candidate, an ideological candidate, someone who's comfortable in his own skin. I see Mitt Romney being a good candidate, a good debater, a good man on a lot of counts. He's not comfortable in his own skin. He's not there defending even his own history, his own wealth, and he's just not the kind of guy. He seems to be panicking right now. In response to the Gingrich win in South Carolina, I hear and I see panic in the Romney camp, and that disturbs me as much or more as anything I've ever heard about Mitt Romney. He needs to reach down deep, grab that inner courage, and say, I'm going to come out fighting. Fighting and calling Gingrich all sorts of names and making accusations, that's not the way to do it. Defend yourself. Defend your policies. If you got a better idea than Gingrich, God bless, let's hear it. But right now, you know, Santorum is not a factor. Rick Rick Santorum, good luck. Rick from Pittsburgh, thanks for calling. All right, Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Let's keep going. How about line six, Patrick in Albany? Thanks for calling into the Savage Nation, sir. You're on the air.
Hello, Jed. My name is Patrick.
Hi.
I believe that Newt Gingrich is not a conservative, and neither is Romney or Santorum. I call them the three stooges of the liberal establishment.
Well, I mean, wait a minute. They're not liberals, for gosh sake. And why do you call them? Why do you say none of them are conservatives? I mean, you're looking at Newt Gingrich. I think he had something like a 90% plus rating through his whole time in Congress from the American Conservative Union. I mean, you don't get that by just sitting around and voting liberal. I mean, why do you say they're liberals?
Controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations. Remember, the senior Bush in 1991, after the Gulf War, declared a new world order.
Come on. We're talking about not senior Bush. We're not talking about a new world order. We're talking about three candidates here that you're saying all three are liberals? I just don't buy that, Patrick.
No. The news media says nothing about it. At a debate, no one asks about it. What is it? Ron Paul, every year, enters a bill to get us out of the United Nations.
Patrick, thank you very much for the call, but this is not getting us anywhere. We need to advance the ball. That's the point of talk radio this year, is to advance the ball, which means two things. Number one, it helps people become more informed about what they're doing and what's going on in these candidates and candidacies and in the campaign. And the other is to educate everybody, to push the ball forward and to help Obama lose. That's our objectives. All right. One more before the break. How about line two? Derek in Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
At the South Carolina debate, when John King asked Newt Gingrich about the allegations of his former wife, that was a softball designed for Newt to hit out of the park.
Whoa, Derek, you're telling me that John King is in collusion with Newt Gingrich?
He he's in collusion with Obama. They talked him that because they want Newt to surge, and he did. They knew that that would make him surge. It would energize the debate for Newt.
Wow. Derek, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that one, that's way out there, man. I mean, that's tinfoil hat country.
It is not. It's the Obama machine. Don't underestimate the Obama political machine, Jed.
Well, I never underestimate them, but on the other hand, I don't grant them powers that they obviously do not have. What you're looking at, it's not, look, you got to understand about the media. The media, it's not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy with Obama. It's a culture. These guys, and you look at the Brian Ross report, the whole thing that was the basis for the Marion Gingrich interview, the whole contrived notion of it, you know, the idea that she was suggesting an open marriage, what she suggested, she never used that term, open marriage. What you've got here in the media, and this is why the media are terrified. Remember, Newt Gingrich took on Chris Wallace. He took on John King most recently. He's done this again and again in these debates. These people in the media need to be put on notice that they're not going to get away with it. This year, everybody, both candidates, all of us in the conservative circles, we got to be holding these guys to account. You know, Derek, I love you, pal, but this stuff is not a conspiracy. You can't convince me that Obama has control over John King. John King wants to see Obama reelected, but he is not getting orders from the White House on what questions to ask. He probably had colluded with ABC and Brian Ross. Again, it's a culture. It's not a conspiracy. All right, we got to take another break. Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back to your calls.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We're at 800-449-8255, and we're talking to you. There's an awful lot of people calling in who really seem to be saying that neither Newt nor Mitt is a conservative. You know, that's very troubling because a lot of you people are pretty well informed. Everybody needs to be more informed. But the basic bottom line is there that much discomfort with both of them? Because if there is, and you guys decide to stay home, guess what? We get four more years of a bad case of B.O. All right, let's go back to the phones. How about line 9, Tim in Mississippi? Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jed. Listen, you said earlier that it seems like Romney is not comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah.
A Tea Party conservative, and I now am an ideological conservative. I don't think of the candidates running are nearly as conservative as I am. But that being said, the reason I think that Mitt is not comfortable in his skin is because when I'm asked to go do a speech or a talk somewhere, I am much more comfortable when I know what I'm talking about and when I'm saying things that I believe. Mitt Romney comes from Massachusetts, the Massachusetts that gave us Ed Markey, the Kennedys, O'Neill, Elizabeth Warren, and Scott Brown. He may be, by Massachusetts standards, conservative, but that is not a flyover zone type conservative. He's trying to be something that he is not. Now,
well, but let me interrupt you there for a minute, Tim, because I think we're mixing up a couple of different things. I think what you're saying is pretty much right on the money with respect to Romney and conservatism in Massachusetts. But what I'm talking about is something deeper than that. I mean, you don't have to go out and study something to know your own finances, to know your own history in your job. And what gets me is Romney doesn't seem to be not conservative, he's not comfortable. He's not comfortable in his own skin. Why can't he just stand up and say in one of these debates, hey, you know what, I made a lot of money, I'm very proud of it. And you'll see my tax returns the other day, tomorrow, and then let's just have done with it. I'm a rich guy. Yeah, I'm a richer guy than a lot of you folks out there. What I want to do with America is make it so that everybody out there can be as rich as I am. He doesn't do that. And, Tim, this is what troubles me about the guy. He's panicking, apparently, because Gingrich won. And he's not comfortable defending himself. If all he can do is go out there and beat the heck out of Gingrich for whatever faults Gingrich may have, and there's plenty of them, but the basic point is, You can't beat Barack Obama if you're a Mitt Romney and you're not willing to stand up for yourself. Are you reading what I'm saying? I think it's a little bit different from what you're saying, Tim.
Well, I think it's kind of a combination of both things. Now, the nation, the conservatives, or even people who are truly moderate, they see the danger that Barack Obama poses. They know how important this election is, sure. and whether you like his bombastic kind of attitude or whether you don't, Obama is not going to roll over and play dead in this thing.
That's exactly my point, and I'm totally with you. I mean, if you can't take what the people of South Carolina dished out, if you can't take the fact that at this point in the game, which is really very early, that you've lost one of the big primaries, if you can't take that, how are you going to go all the way through November with everything you've ever done put under the microscope, with every vote you've ever taken, with every bill you've ever signed or vetoed? All of those things are going to be coming out. And if Mitt Romney is not strong enough to stand up to what's going on so far, how is he going to make it to November?
Well, he's not. He's not going to. And that is that you mentioned earlier, Reagan's 11th commandment. For Romney to come out now and on the war path against Newt Gingrich, so what if you win the Republican primary and Barack Obama winds up in the White House for four more years?
There's a lot of truth. Tim, you're largely right, and I appreciate the call. Thanks very much. We got to go into a hard break, ladies and gentlemen. But this is a problem. We have to select a candidate, so that means we have to have differences between them illustrated for us. But how far can you go? How much are you going to panic? Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin from the American Spectator and RealClearPolitics.com sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We're at 800-449-8255, and we're talking about the Republican primaries, the debate tonight, the special address by President Obama tomorrow, the State of the Union address, and we're going to be talking to Senator Rand Paul later in the show. He was apparently detained at an airport today by our friends at the TSA, and of course, they don't care about the Constitution, which says you can't detain a member of Congress on a way to or from said Congress. All right, before we get back to the campaign, a lot of you have been very patient, holding on the phone. Please hold on another few minutes, because I've got to bring you up to date on something, and it goes back in reference to something that Michael was talking about last week. Today, a plea bargain was reached in the trial of Sergeant Frank Wooderich. Now, you might remember Sergeant Wooderich. He's the last of the Marines to be tried for murder in that horrific incident in Haditha in Iraq in 2005. Now, this case has gone on for 6 years. When the incident first happened, the now deceased and now former member of Congress, Congressman Jack Murtha, said the Marines killed these people in cold blood. It was, of course, false. It was, of course, a libel and a slander on the entire Marine Corps. What happened was a series of trials. None of these guys have been found guilty. Today, Sergeant Wooderich pled guilty, not to murder, not to anything except negligent dereliction of duty, which means maybe he didn't keep an eye on somebody for long enough in the right way. This man has served honorably. He's been to hell and back, and I'm sick and tired of these guys being abused. Which brings me to the rest of the story. I know you've probably heard about it before. You've probably read it. You need to go to michaelsavage.com and read it again or read it for the first time. Michael had a really good column in USA Today last week in talking about the Marines who are now being charged with urinating on a couple of dead Taliban in Afghanistan. Oh, for God's sake, what's going on here? What in the world is going on? You're talking about these Marines. Well, first of all, let's talk about all the Marines. Let's talk about Frank Wooderich and company, who were in the line of fire, who were under fire, who had just lost a couple of their guys to an ambush. And in this trial, this is fascinating to me, ladies and gentlemen. I've never been in combat, but I've been either in or around the military all my life. And what we had in this case, in the Wooderich case, you had expert witnesses lining up, Navy lawyers, to testify what the rules of engagement meant. Now, stop. Just stop right there. If you have to have expert witnesses interpreting the rules of engagement for a court, you know what? Frank Wooderich shouldn't have been on trial. The knucklehead who wrote those rules of engagement should have been on trial. The Marines are under fire. The Marines are behaving bravely in accordance with their training. If you're drafting up rules of engagement that somebody has to sit back and talk to their lawyer for half an hour before they can react to something going on, that's wrong. That's just flat wrong. As a matter of fact, the dereliction of duty was not Sergeant Wooderich's. It was whoever that knucklehead was who wrote those rules of engagement. Now we've got these four Marines in Afghanistan, and they may be punished for urinating on a couple of dead Taliban. Well, big stinking deal. You know, back in the day when we really had the will to win a war, back in the day when we really had something that we were fighting and clearly a fighting a goal to win, things were a bit different. Now, I told Michael about this, or I told Beowulf about this last week when this first came up. My dad, God rest his soul, was a platoon leader in a little place called Guadalcanal in August of 1942. He was a Marine lieutenant, later got to be a captain when he got to that nice little vacation spot called Iwo Jima. But on Guadalcanal, it was the first Marine Corps operation, the first offensive operation of World War II. And after a while, after a few days of it, there was a big problem. My dad's men, having seen some of their comrades butchered on Guadalcanal, having seen the infamous Lost Patrol butchery, those guys were starting to collect the trigger fingers of the dead Japanese and making necklaces out of them. It was horrible. It was grotesque. It was a breach of order and discipline. It was a dishonor to the Marine Corps. Well, what did my dad do? He did not send these guys up for court-martial. My dad told me, this is many, many years ago, he passed away too many years ago, he told me that he just got the platoon sergeant, and they had a rather pointed discussion with those men, at which point that process ceased. I don't know what my dad's idea was of a pointed discussion back then, but I expect that those guys had a few black eyes and a few swollen ears, and they got the message pretty quickly. It was justice dispensed the Marine Corps way, and that's, you know, that's nothing different from what should happen here. This business of peeing on a couple of Taliban is nonsense. You know what? The worst that should happen to those guys, I send them out to run about 10 miles with full packs, get them to do about 100 push-ups, and then sit them down with the gunny and say, you know, you guys really don't want to do that again. But bringing them up on charges? That's bizarre. It's stupid. It's like a situation where putting Frank Wooderich and his platoon in the line of fire and having rules of engagement that you have to have lawyers debate on the witness stand. All right, that's just Jed Babin speaking. That's nobody else. But I think I have a pretty good basis for what I'm saying. You can like it or not. I think most of you would agree. These Marines need to be rewarded for going in the line of fire and not bothered for peeing on a couple of Taliban scum. All right. Now that I got that back off my chest, let's get back to the election. Let's get back to the thing that everybody's talking about, Newt versus Mitt. We talked in the last hour. My point here is you're seeing a devolution of this race. Mitt Romney is rebounding or trying to rebound from the big loss in South Carolina. And he took a beating amongst pretty much every demographic group, age group, whatever you can name. He lost every county in South Carolina. And why? People are saying, well, yeah, okay, it's because people are looking for a fighting man, and Newt Gingrich is a very scrappy guy. That's part of it. But if you delve a little bit deeper, if you look down as to what's going on now, you'll see two things that Newt Gingrich apparently is and Mitt Romney is not. Number one, Newt Gingrich is an ideological candidate. He states clearly what his beliefs are. They're founded in conservatism. Whether you believe him or not is not for my point right now. The point is he is an ideological candidate, the likes of which we have not seen since Ronald Reagan. The other point is Newt Gingrich is comfortable in his own skin. Some say too comfortable. Some say this guy has an ego that's totally out of control. I'm not here to tell you whether that's true or not. There's some things that Newt Gingrich has done in his life that I just sit back and scratch my head. But the point of the matter is he's comfortable in his own skin. And when you start talking about Mitt Romney and his wealth, he's nervous. He's uncomfortable. How is he going to stand up to a full national campaign if he's not willing or not able to stand up and defend himself in one of these debates? And now you see, after South Carolina, I'm seeing panic. I'm seeing what Mitt Romney was saying. I was listening to it today. I'm hearing a panic there. He's out there swinging wildly at Newt Gingrich. That's not the way to win, Governor. The way to win is to go back to your ideas and tell us. Tell us why, clearly, concisely, and effectively, why they're better than Newt's ideas. You can probably debate as well as he can if you have the confidence in yourself, which right now I don't see. All right, let's go back to the phones. We get in one before the break. How about line 10, Frank in New York? Thanks very much for calling in. This is the Savage Nation.
Good evening. I agree and with everything you've been saying. As far as the Marines court-martial, that is really over the top. That's too severe. You know, I was around in 1945. I was a 17-year-old corpsman, okay? And
God bless.
It was just beyond comprehension. Everybody had savage against each other. It's true your dad had the right of persona for the that what they shouldn't do, but you can't tell that to anybody who's fighting a savage war. I knew guys who came home with souvenirs like that. I didn't condemn them. I thought it was something that went with war, because we all know that war is hell. Now, if you want me to talk about Mr. Gingrich, I think Mr. Gingrich is the only candidate who can really go toe-to-toe with Obama. He's got belly. He's got fire in his belly. I don't want to have anybody try to stop his movement, because I think the stronger the candidates go with their campaigning, I think he's the only man that can do the job.
All right, one quick question for you, Frank. Have you been listening to what Mitt Romney has been saying today?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I really can't ask you to react to that. All right, well, I really appreciate the call. Were you a Marine back then when you were a corpsman?
I was a Navy corpsman.
God bless, and you served with the Marines.
Well, I served aboard hospital ships, and then
right,
I was transferred to the East Coast, to Philadelphia Navy Hospital, where Marines were fitted with prostheses.
Wow.
They didn't have any arms, any legs. In fact,
yep.
Al Schmidt was one of my patients. You know Al Schmidt?
No, I don't, but I appreciate it, Frank. I know every Marine you've ever talked to or helped, it's just, I'm sure, holds you in a special place in their hearts. Thanks very much for calling. All right, Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. We're going to have to take a quick break and coming right back to your calls, 800-449-8255. Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. Jed Babin from the American Spectator sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage today, 800-449-8255. Still talking about the aftermath of South Carolina and going into Florida. What's going to happen? Is Romney panicking? Well, it kind of seems like he is. Let's go back to the phones. How about line three? Jim in Florida. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, God bless your father's service and that last gentleman that called, World War II vet. That was pretty cool to hear. But let me get to the point about Newt. I think some people are looking over some key points here in South Carolina. The fact something very important happened there. Santorum, Evangelical, and Newt took them to the cleaners. So that's telling me that, and that's a strong evangelical state. So that's telling me that for these people, Newt trumps that. And I think what Newt's tapping into that I think people are missing is he's very much the anti-Bush, because I think Perry got hurt because he was had a lot of things about him that reminded people of George Bush.
Yeah.
And Romney is a kind of the other side of Bush, the corporate, moderate, East Coast side of Bush that reminds people. And I think people overlook how much the Republicans don't want a repeat of Bush. And I think
I think that's right. I think it's a very important point you're making, Jim, and forgive the interruption, but one of the things we have not had for a long, long time is a leader in the Republican Party. And part of the length of this primary process and part of the, frankly, the strident way that it's being conducted is the fact that there is no leader. There's not even a preliminary, a prior leader that's standing up. Look, George W. Bush, who I admire in a lot of ways, let's face it, he and Karl Rove left the Republican Party a smoking hole in the ground. And what people are looking for is a leader who can nationalize the issues and really take it to Obama and unify the party. Now, whether that's Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney, I don't know. I will tell you I have a lot of doubts that Romney can do that. And for one very simple reason, people don't get excited about him. He's a tepid kind of guy. And if you have a tepid candidate and people wake up on November the 6th and say, "Yeah, you know, I really don't care. Maybe I just won't go and vote today. I'm going to go get another cup of Starbucks instead." Then we lose. Then we get another Barack Obama. Now, Newt Gingrich is going to fire people up. Maybe he's going to fire people up in a bad way. I don't know yet. Newt can blow up. So that's the choice we've got. We've got one guy who is not comfortable in his own skin. We've got another guy who maybe is a little too comfortable in his own skin. We've got an ideological candidate versus a Massachusetts moderate, which is, I guess, what Newt is calling Romney. And that's really a label that sticks because it's true. So where do we go? Where do we go, Jim? If the you're in Florida, if the have you voted yet?
Yes, I'm going to be voting. I'm an independent, but I'm going to vote in the general. But you're hitting a key point, because this thing with Rove, Fox is really missing it. The establishment's missing. I think Fox is frankly getting themselves in trouble because they're missing what Newt is a tap back to Reagan. He can articulate Reagan's vision. He is more conservative than people say. He was a congressman, so he had to compromise. He was a Speaker of the House. But he can articulate, and he's tapping into that emotion. And Rove and these establishment guys are way, way off. And I think South Carolina is the inflection point. Newt's got
it. It might be. It might be, Jim. You may be right. I don't know. We're just going to have to see. Florida is going to be a really telling primary. All right, time for one more quick one. I think about 1 minute before the break. Let's go to Ross in North Carolina. Welcome to the show, sir. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Be quick.
Yeah, Jed, a month ago I was anti-Gingrich. Now I'm for him.
Why?
Let's go for broke. All of the 80% of the crap that they throw at this guy is 12 to 15 years old. Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
See Y2K, the panic there, trade towers falling down, two ridiculous wars. Gingrich.
So what you're saying is the statute of limitations has run on everything that had to do with Newt before, but doesn't that make it so that he has to revalidate his credentials? I'm not so sure, Ross. I'm not so sure that works. I think a man's public record is fair game. Well, let's see. Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here. I'm so in love with you.
You know, sometimes you just can't believe what politicians will do. That was President Obama, the leader of the free world, trying out his soul music falsetto last week at the famous Apollo Theater in New York City. Well, you know, that's kind of the tune he wants to play. Maybe he ought to sing his State of the Union address tomorrow night. Well, that won't help. No, it won't help much. Because we know what he's going to say, and we know what he's going to do. We know from the trial balloons that have been floated around by the gigolo media, you can see what he's going to do is, again, go after the rich. He wants more taxes. He wants more green energy, more investment in global warmest garbage like Solyndra. He's going to ask for his quote-unquote jobs bill, the $447 billion mini-stimulus. Did I really say it? $447 billion is a mini-stimulus? Okay, that's where Barack Obama has brought us, ladies and gentlemen. We think now $447 billion is just chump change. Well, that's what he's going to do again tomorrow night. He's going to be lacing it with all sorts of lies. He's going to be insulting people. You know what this guy does? His whole tactic, starting from day one, he speaks very angry words in a calm tone. It's as if your psychiatrist was telling you he was going to beat the stuffings out of you at that moment. This is what Obama does. And his attitude, his arrogance, is above and beyond anything found anywhere in the Republican Party. This is the guy, don't forget, this is the guy, the first time he went up to the Hill in February, or was it late January of 2009, soon after his inauguration, and he was already proposing the stimulus package. And Senator John Kyle of Arizona, real good guy, good conservative, tough guy, says, well, Mr. President, you know, we really need to be thinking about how bad this this situation is. Maybe you don't want to have this kind of a stimulus bill. And you know what Obama said? He said, well, I'm sorry, but I won. My way or the highway. That's Obama's message. So what's going to happen tomorrow night? More of that. More business of, well, what comes down to income equality. That's what the liberals are saying now. Income equality. Inequality, I'm sorry. Income inequality. What does that mean? It's their idea of redistribution. It means taking money from people who are well off and giving it not to the poor, giving it to the government. So the government can redistribute the wealth as it sees fit. We're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about how he's stimulating jobs and how he's doing so much better and how our economy is recovering. You know, it's going to be so full of baloney that most of us are not going to even want to look at it and watch it and listen to it. We will, those of us in the political junkie world, those of us who analyze these things, we have to watch it. And we will. And I recommend that everybody else does. And I think you ought to really realize that the response to it is going to be much more important than the speech itself. Now, Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, solid conservative, not the most exciting guy in the world, but we don't want excitement. We want somebody who's going to be tough and somebody who's going to be ready to answer Obama, to call him out whenever the lies may be, to mention specifically when the president is fibbing. You know, this is a guy, Obama is the guy last year, if you remember, in the State of the Union address, he was talking about the Citizens United decision, and he was describing it in front of the Supreme Court in such ridiculous and insulting terms. You saw Samuel Alito, one of our best conservative justices on the Supreme Court, silently mouthing the words, not true. And this man, I bet you some of the Supreme Court justices don't even come tomorrow night because Obama is so badly behaved. But what can we expect? What can we expect from Governor Daniels? Well, there's a couple of ideas, and I put them out there today in my column in the American Spectator. You can read it on spectator.org. There's going to be a few things that maybe the governor ought to do. Now, he's obviously going to say some things about, well, this is 1,000 days since the Democratic Senate passed a budget So don't talk to me that it's the Republicans' fault, Mr. President, that we don't have a budget plan. The House passed the Paul Ryan budget last year. They'll pass something exactly the same or very much like it this year. Where's the Senate? Why don't the Democrats come up with a budget? He can do that. Daniels can do that. But there are more things, maybe a little more subtle, that Governor Daniels can do. And Governor, if you're listening, I just respectfully ask that you consider some of these things. Number one, we have an awful lot of people out there who don't think about themselves as Republicans. They're fiscal conservatives. Maybe they're social moderates. Maybe they would be even liberal socially. We used to call them Reagan Democrats because they came over to our side when it became so very clear that the Democrats were so far out of bounds. Speak, please, directly to these people. Talk to them about the waste and the federal government that Barack Obama has caused. Promise that we will have not just some minor tinkering with the budget, but that somebody's going to go after the federal budget with a meat axe as soon as we get a Republican president. Governor Daniels, you can say it loudly and clearly. We can't fix this economy with Barack Obama in office. America's economy cannot recover. You can go out and put out a whole bunch of different plans. There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of very good Republican plans. As a matter of fact, there's one I would suggest that everybody take a look at. It's out of the Free Congress Foundation. My friend, former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore, has come up with what he calls the Growth Code in coordination with Gary Robbins, one of the best conservative economists out there. And the Growth Code is something you don't need to amend the Constitution. A balanced budget amendment is a great idea, but it's not going to happen in years and years and years. These are things, what Jim Gilmore has in the Growth Code is stuff you don't have to have miracles to pull it off. It's five very simple amendments to the tax code to reduce business tax, to allow expensing, to bring the small business people down to a reasonable tax rate. Just read it. Go on the Free Congress Foundation website. Governor Daniels, if you're listening, maybe you want to take a look at it. There's other plans out there. Mitt Romney has an economic plan. It's not bad. It's kind of tepid. Gingrich has a plan. It's pretty bold. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I'm not an economist. I can't sit here and tell you. But there are plans out there. Governor Daniels, you can go out there and outline those things. Look at Gilmore's plan and Gingrich's plan and Romney's plan and come up with a good plan. Another thing, this Keystone Pipeline thing. Governor Daniels, you can get up there and say, America is probably one of the three or four most energy-rich countries in the world. Natural gas, coal, uranium, anything we want. If we have oil, we have it by the billions of gallons, by the billions of barrels. All we got to do is go drill it. We are energy poor only because of Solyndra and Barry Obama and all the global warming rent seekers. All of those people are responsible for the fact that gasoline, I think premium gasoline around the Washington area right now is it's almost $3.70 a gallon again. It's going up and up and up. Why? Because we don't drill, because we don't refine, because we don't do things we could. Governor Daniels, you can bring all this out. And another thing, not quite last, we have the prospect of another $600 billion of defense spending being sequestered because the stupor committee failed, as it had to, because Obama doesn't want to let the military have what it needs to defend this country. What we don't know, Governor, right now is whether we're cutting fat or cutting muscle. I think you can call upon your fellow Republicans to sit back, make that study, determine what we need to defend this country. The exercise that Obama does is completely backwards. They take a number and make the budget fit the number. That's not the way you defend this country. You figure out what we need and then make the military budget match what we need. Maybe we need to increase military spending. I don't think so. Maybe we can cut it back, but are we cutting fat or are we cutting muscle? We don't know. Barry Obama doesn't know. Leon Panetta doesn't know. They need to know. We need to know. Republicans need to drive that thought home. Last, and definitely not least, I've talked about it before on the show. I'm going to be talking about it till my dying day. This issue of the media. The media, you saw the reaction that Newt Gingrich got when he took on John King over that nonsense Marion Gingrich interview. Look, that was a contrived thing. It was a setup job. ABC News went way, way, way beneath the radar, way, way, way beneath journalistic ethics. to dredge that up right before the South Carolina primary. It was a hit job. It was designed to torpedo Gingrich. And CNN picked it up and ran with it. You saw the reaction. Everybody saw the reaction. When Newt Gingrich took on John King and slam dunked him, that was a body slam that I haven't seen the likes of which in years. And you know what? That's another big issue. The media is terrified of Newt Gingrich. And you know what? They ought to be terrified of every Republican candidate. Call these guys out, Governor. Call them out in the response to the State of the Union address, please. And see if you can just convince the media that they'd better start reviving what used to be called journalistic ethics. That when the facts are what they are, everybody's happy with you reporting them. But these hit jobs, like they did on Newt Gingrich, like they're going to do on Mitt Romney, whoever is the nominee, this is going to be the norm. There's going to be an October surprise every doggone week. And think about what these guys do. They make news reports. They're campaign commercials for the other side. They pass them off like that. I mean, frankly, these guys are into the business of political activism. The media needs to be called to account. Governor, we don't need to have you go all Spiro. Spiro Agnew, back in the olden days, talked about the nattering nabobs of negativism. Well, you know, that was kind of a good name for the media. We need something better. We need a response right now, Governor. Please think about it. Just put them on notice in a friendly tone, not in a threatening tone, maybe mocking them a little bit. That's what we hope. That's what I hope comes out of the State of the Union address. All right. I had to get that off my chest, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in that address and in the response. And tonight, in the next Republican debate, yes, I know we've gone through, what, 16 of them now? There's going to be, well, one tonight, and I think one Thursday or Friday night, right before the Florida primary. We're going to have to sit through this again. It's going to be interesting. Is it going to be that Mitt Romney is going to recover? Is it going to be that Mitt Romney is going to say, I'm going to defend myself, I'm going to defend my policies, I'm not going to panic? Or will he go down the road he's gone down today? Newt Gingrich, I got to tell you, Governor Romney, Newt Gingrich is going to walk away from this. He's going to walk away with the nomination, and you're going to be wondering what happened to you. Right now, you're doing it to yourself. Stand up, defend yourself, defend your wealth, get comfortable. Convince people that you're comfortable in your own skin. All right, we're going to have to take a break in a minute. We're going to come right back to your calls. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Take a look at michaelsavage.com. A lot of really good commentary there, a lot of top stories. You need to read this stuff. And stick around. We're going to be talking later in the show with Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who had a little run-in today, a little run-in with our friends at TSA. Imagine this. Imagine this, ladies and gentlemen, having the gall to detain a U.S. senator on his way to the Capitol. This is precisely what the United States Constitution forbids. TSA, you need to be reined in. This is what happens with every police force in the history of the world since the Praetorian Guard in Rome. If they don't have to follow the rules, they get way out of line and they violate people's rights. All right, let's take a quick break. Come right back to your calls. Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back.
Savage.
In it, she says that you came to her in 1999, at a time when you were having an affair. She says you asked her, sir, to enter into an open marriage. Would you like to take some time to respond to that?
No, but I will. I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office, and I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that.
Newt's coming, and the media is scared to death of him. Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if Newt Gingrich is going to be the nominee. I'm not sure whether he should be. I like the guy a lot. And when he went after John King like that, I was basically sitting back and saying, my prayers have been answered. I've been asking Republicans to have the guts to go after the media for years now. This is the first time I have seen someone go right back at him. And Gingrich keeps doing it again and again. He did it a little bit, a couple of times earlier. He even went after poor Chris Wallace in one of the first debates. But this is a guy who is not afraid to fight a bear with a buggy whip. Now, is he the right nominee? I'm not endorsing him. I'm not endorsing Romney. All I can say is people want someone who's going to be a fighter. Lord only knows Newt Gingrich is a fighter. All right, let's get back to your calls. All right, buddy, we can't do it either on a cell phone or on a speakerphone, and you're bouncing off the walls there. Sorry about that. All right, let's go to the next caller, Kay in Tucson. Ma'am, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. This is Jed Babin.
Hi, Jed. I disagree with you about Romney, and I'm a big Romney supporter.
Okay.
I hope that we don't hire people based on what they say rather than what they've done. And I think the most important thing that we need in this election is leadership. And Romney has a JD and an MBA from Harvard. He has a tremendous amount of business leadership. And he can support capitalism and clean up the government and the economy very easily. There's no...
Whoa. How easily, Kay? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out where you're coming to that conclusion from, because I don't think any of this is going to be easy. And I'm wondering how Mr. Romney has really been... He's been a very successful businessman, and I think that's great. And I wish he were more energetic in defending that. But why do you think it's going to be easy for him to do that?
Well, he left Massachusetts. If you're talking about people's records, I want to say one thing about Romney's, a couple of things about his records. He left Massachusetts with a $2 billion surplus. When he entered as governor, I think there was a $3 billion deficit.
Okay.
He implemented Romney Care as a state's rights issue.
Whoa. You think Romney Care was a good idea?
I believe that the people in Massachusetts wanted it.
Well, but wait a minute. That doesn't mean necessarily it's a good thing. Just because the people in a particular state want something, I mean, I'm sure if I ask them, everyone here in the Commonwealth of Virginia where I live would say, I'd like to have a gold bar delivered to my front step next day. But you can't say that. I mean, I'm waiting. Kay, the problem I have with Mr. Romney, I like the guy, but he is not the kind of fighter that we're looking for. And I'm seeing now a guy who seems to be kind of panicking after the loss in South Carolina. He may be a decent business leader, but let me just tell you, and we're going to have to break off pretty soon for a hard break, and I don't want to do that. Can you stay on till after the break, Kay, because I want to talk to you about this. There's a profound difference here. There's a profound difference between a CEO and a leader. And I don't think a lot of people really have thought about that. So please stay on if you can. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. We're going to come back after the break. Let's talk about that. What's a CEO and what's a leader? There's a big difference. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We'll be right back.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We'll be right back.
Our party can't be led to victory by someone who also has never run a business and never run a state. We cannot defeat that president with a candidate who has joined in that very assault on free enterprise. When my opponents attack success and free enterprise, they're not only attacking me, they're attacking every person who dreams of a better future. He's attacking you.
Mitt Romney on the attack. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. We're talking just before the break with a nice lady, Kay from Tucson. Kay, you still there?
Yes.
Thank you for hanging on. We were talking about Mitt Romney, and you were saying some very kind things about him, but I wanted to ask you before I get into the business of the question I was going to raise with you. We were talking about the difference between a CEO and a real leader. Now, you said at one point that the Romney people or Romney himself would be able to fix our economy pretty easily. I just wanted to ask you, how do you think that could happen? What do you think he would do to fix our economy?
It isn't just that Mitt's a CEO. It was the type of company that he was a CEO for. He, Bain and Boston Consulting Group that he worked in before Bain, they were experts in going into companies that were on the verge of bankruptcy, cleaning up fraud, waste, and abuse, and turning the company around and making it profitable. And if you go out to YouTube, you can look at videos that have to do with the Army going through something called Lean and Six Sigma. And they're basically doing that in the Army. And I have a vision, because this is the field that I've worked in before, but I have this vision of this high-level executive being able to orchestrate this change across the government, because he's done it elsewhere, and he's done it in a variety of companies.
Well, I think there is some reason for you to be saying that, and I do understand and respect what you're saying. But let me differ with you on that very strongly. Number one, Mr. Romney has had a tremendously successful business career. He's made a lot of money. And I certainly don't think that that's a bad thing. I think he needs to stand up on his hind legs and defend it a lot better than he has. But my real point here, and what I wanted you to hang on, is to explain why I think there's a difference between a CEO and a leader. Now, I've known a lot of CEOs in my time. I've dealt with them. I've worked for a few of them. And they're all very top-notch people. They know their business pretty much, but a CEO is not a leader. Because for one simple reason, these people are taught in business schools that they don't have to have a broad base of knowledge in their companies. What they do is they have a basic knowledge of their companies, and then they rely on experts. And the experts may be great people, and they may give them the best advice, and they may make the very best decisions. But a leader has to have a different kind of quality. A leader has to be able to rely on experts, too. But, and this is really the key difference, and this is one of my big beefs with Mr. Romney, a CEO is taught to rely on the experts to get them to consolidate to an opinion and pretty much go along with that. A leader sometimes, and this is what is the difference between a CEO and the President of the United States, a leader sometimes has to be able to sit back and look at his advisors and say, you're all wrong, and here's why, and this is what we're going to do, and it's got nothing to do with what you guys are recommending. The American people do not expect a CEO. They expect a real leader. A leader is someone who has his own knowledge, his foundational knowledge of our history, of the history of our adversaries and allies, of the way our economy works, of the Washington politics and the political system. An expert, no matter how much a person is expert in one particular field, is not a leader. A leader has to be able to have his own knowledge, to be able to bring things together, and to be able to make decisions based on knowledge independent of his own advisors. I'm sorry, but I just don't believe that Mr. Romney really makes that great. Now, he might in some ways, and he may have enough good advisors around him that he could make a good president. But a CEO is not a leader. And I have to tell you, Kay, it's not going to be easy for anybody to fix this economy, and it's never going to be done while Barack Obama is president. Hey, great call, and thank you for holding on for so long. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Getting back to, well, we're not really leaving politics. Bottom of the hour, I wanted to remind you, Senator Rand Paul is going to be joining us to tell us of his little incident with TSA today, where they quite apparently violated the Constitution by detaining a sitting member of Congress on his way to the halls of Congress. All right, let's go back to the phones. Line 8, Levita in Florida. Thanks for calling to the Savage Nation. You're on the air, ma'am.
Thank you. I wanted to make one quick point. Mitt Romney will never win a general election. And the reason for that is everyone's trying to play nice right now, but when it gets right down to him going up against Obama, number one, he's not a debater, and Obama is. Obama's an eloquent speaker. Secondly, Obama, they're all going to play dirty, and Obama's going to play the religion card. He's not going to do any holdback on that, and I don't know what you know about the Mormon religion, but I've been a Christian evangelist since 1980. I've talked to thousands of people, and most of them don't even know what Mormons believe, but I can guarantee they will bring it out in the election.
Well, I'm sure they will, but my point really is this. I thought we got over that when we elected Jack Kennedy president in 1960. He was our first Catholic president, and I remember all of the nonsense. I was a little kid at the time, but I was still listening, or I was already listening to politics. And I remember all the stuff about, oh, he's going to take orders from the Pope. I mean, we got over that. I don't believe that the religion of Mitt Romney is going to be a big factor. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I know people are, you know, prejudiced in a variety of different ways, and that's just a fact of life. But the basic bottom line here is I think Mitt Romney could be a good candidate. I think you're right. He's too tepid a debater. He's a smart guy. He could be a better debater. I don't know if he could ever be as good a debater as Newt Gingrich, but the basic point here is Mitt Romney might win or lose for a lot of different reasons, but I don't think his religion is one of them.
I think it's going to be a big point when they come at him with it. I mean, I don't know what you know about it, but most people think that Mormonism is a form of Christian religion.
Well, look, ma'am, let's not even get into that. You know, to me, whether Mormonism is part of Christianity or not, I'm not interested. I want to know. I mean, it's like the question of race. I could care less whether Barack Obama is black or white or purple. He's a liberal. That's all I need to know. I don't even need to see the guy to know that I don't like his policies. That's the point. Romney should be viewed in the same way, whether he's a Zoroastrian or a Christian or whatever. The point of the matter is that's not relevant. This is 21st century America. We've gotten over that. We don't judge people on the basis of their religion. This is a point, well, unless a religion is threatening us, like we can talk about Sharia some other time. But the basic point here is Mitt Romney's religion is irrelevant. I don't think it's going to be a big issue this year.
Well,
all right. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to line 3. Carol in Alabama. Welcome to the Savage Nation, ma'am. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you for having me. I wanted to talk about Mitt Romney and his personality, the characteristics. I think the reason why people are having a tough time relating to him is he's not a braggart. He's a humble person. He doesn't like talking about himself in a grandiose way. He's not a showboater. You know, he's done a lot of good things, and he doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to do it.
I don't have a problem with that. I think it's good, especially in a politician. It's really rare to find a politician that's a little bit humble. But the problem that I have, and I don't think it's necessarily his humility, I just don't think Mr. Romney is comfortable in his own skin. And I think if you don't have enough confidence in yourself and your history and what you've done, you can't really defend it. Why has he not stood up and say, yeah, I've made a ton of money in my life. I'm very proud of that fact. I'm glad that I can provide for my family and give to my church. I think that's a great thing. I think he ought to be proud of it.
He did say that the other night, that he said, you know, I made this money all by myself. I didn't inherit this money. He said that in the debate.
Okay, well, he needs to do more of that. I can tell that you're a big Romney supporter, and good on you, Carol. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, you should dump Romney for Gingrich or dump Gingrich for Romney. You know, I've really, truly not decided between the two, although I will tell you I'm leaning to Mr. Gingrich because I think he's tougher. I think he's got a better personality to win this campaign. And, you know, for all of his other faults, he may be the guy. Well, hey, great call. Thanks for it. We're going to have to take a break in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back to your calls in just a minute. More about Romney. I mean, what do you think? And more about Gingrich, too. Now, Gingrich has a lot of faults, and Gingrich takes a lot of funny bounces. And I think that's a big, big problem. Now, so far in this campaign, Gingrich has been pretty disciplined. He hasn't gone off and, you know, sat on the couch with Nancy Pelosi again and made another global warming commercial. There's always that danger. Can he discipline himself, or is his ego too big? I think Newt's a grown-up. I could be wrong, but I think he is. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back. And at the bottom of the hour, Senator Rand Paul. Stick with us.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Lots of people being very patient, waiting on the phone. Let's get right to you. All right, line six, Shirley in San Antonio. Welcome to the Savage Nation, ma'am. Thanks for the call.
You hit the nail on the head. From the very beginning, what the first time I saw Mitt Romney on the stage, he struck me as a corporate executive. I've seen a million of them. I worked for a very large telecommunications company. They're good at delegating, but they're not good at getting down in the trenches and being questioned and questioning their authority. And when I heard you say that while ago, it was like, that's it. That's what I've been saying all this time.
Yeah, thanks. I don't want to be unfair to Mr. Romney. He's a very smart guy, and he's used to making big decisions. I mean, being governor of a state is a lot different than being a CEO. So being a governor of Massachusetts, though, I don't know what that really teaches you. I mean, he said it himself many times. I mean, you can be the governor of Massachusetts. He was a Republican governor in a very Democratic state, and he learned how to compromise. That's another problem to me. I mean, at this point, I would rather have gridlock in Washington than have compromise. We need to have a strong president who comes in carrying along with him enough new senators to take over the United States Senate, to keep the House, and roll back what Obama has done. We don't want compromise. We don't want people to be sitting here trying to tinker with Obamacare. We want the bloody thing repealed. We don't want to have the stimulus package renewed. We want it canceled out. We don't want to have $600 billion of additional cuts imposed on the Pentagon. We want somebody to figure out just what the heck we need before we start cutting. So, you know, I think there's a lot in what you're saying. The CEO mentality is one thing. He could do more than that. But the thing that really scares me, and forgive me for going on about this, Shirley, I did talk to Mitt Romney a few years ago, right after his campaign in 2008. And I sat there and I talked a lot about national security. And he did impress me as a CEO. He's a brilliant guy who can take a briefing. But I did not get the impression, and maybe he'll be kind enough to talk to me again, maybe not after this radio show. But my impression was he had no basic knowledge of national security and foreign affairs. I think he could get good advisors who could help him along, and some very, very good people like John Bolton have signed up with him. And that gives me some level of comfort. But he doesn't have the basic bottom line knowledge in his own head. So that's where we go with that. Shirley, great call. Thanks for it. Can we cram one more in before the break? And Senator Rand Paul joining us at the bottom of the hour. Let's go to line one. Elliot in Boston. Thanks for calling this Savage Nation. You're on the air, sir.
Fine job, Jed. You're doing a fine job. Of course, Michael's the best in radio, but, you know, let me just say to back up what you've been saying about Mitt Romney's weakness. This is a bizarre story, but it comes from Mitt's own mouth. He admitted this. Mitt admitted this, that when Dr. King was shot, Mitt was driving his car, heard it on the car radio, started to cry uncontrollably, he says. You know, who cries controllably? He had a off the road. He had to pull his car off the road to continue to cry. It's such a bizarre story. I know that Newt calls Mitt a liar straight out, but I hope Mitt is lying, because if this is the truth, I find this much more scarier than what you were saying. This is so bizarre, so scary. If you talk to him again, ask him to tell you about this story. It's so weird. Thank you.
I will. Well, thank you very much for the compliments. Michael is the best, and all I can tell you is sitting in here is a great privilege, and it's a whole lot of fun, ladies and gentlemen. I can't tell you how much fun I have doing talk radio. Well, talking to you. We probably don't have time for another call before the break, but let's just do this. Let's just sit back a little bit and think about the last time we went to an airport. Now, I'm a former cancer patient. I don't do x-rays. So I've been shaken down by the TSA again and again and again. I always make them do it in public. They say, oh, you want a private screening? No, I want witnesses. We're going to hear from a sitting member of the United States Senate about something. You know, it takes a lot to shock us anymore. This will shock you. Jed Babin for Michael Savage.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. Let me just take a sidebar here, and before I introduce our guest who's waiting patiently on the line, let me just refer you to your Constitution of the United States. Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution says that senators and representatives shall receive compensation for their services, so forth. They shall, in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at a session of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same, end quote. This morning, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, had an incident with the TSA folks at an airport while he was on his way back to Washington. Very privileged to introduce you right now. Senator Rand Paul. Senator, thanks very much for taking the time to join us.
Good to be with you, Jed.
Well, can you just tell us where you were? And were you on your way back to Washington, as I just described, as I understand it?
Well, I was actually on my way to Washington, yes. We've been out for about a month, and I've been traveling around Kentucky. And, you know, I've been traveling for about a year. I was elected about a year ago. I've never had any trouble with the TSA. In fact, many of the local workers, like I've told people, listen to conservative talk radio, and they're ex-military and conservative folks. But the problem is they're stuck with rules that don't make any sense. So I went through the screening this morning, and the alarm went off as I went through the body scanner, and they said it was my knee. And so I lifted my leg and said, I don't have anything there, and I pulled my sock down, and they said, well, that's not enough. We need to do a pat-down. I said, well, I've just showed you the spot. Maybe I could just walk back through the screener, and that would be enough. That wasn't to their liking either, and we couldn't find anybody who really wanted to let me walk back through the screener, even though about 2 days ago I'd been in an airport and they did let me walk through a screener again, which I think is the reasonable way to try to avoid these pat-down searches.
Sure.
They wouldn't let it happen. And so, you know, I was detained. I tried to make a phone call. And at that point, they told me because I had touched my phone that I would be subject to a full body search. And, you know, I just really thought that they were sort of threatening me because I decided to call my office and let them know that I wasn't going to make the plane.
Sure, but you know, you identified yourself as a member of the Senate, right?
Well, you know, I usually don't. I usually just present my driver's license. I wait in line like everybody else. I'm not looking for special treatment. And I think by then they knew who I was, but it wasn't because I was sporting my government ID or anything.
Right.
I really tried not to ask for anything special. And I really
you must be a Republican.
Yeah, but in the end, you know, what I want out of this is something good for everybody. I mean, if you travel, my brother-in-law went to the Air Force Academy. He travels a lot. I want people who are not going to attack America
not to be overburdened and to have their dignity and privacy removed, particularly when I don't think it helps our safety.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Senator. You know, I've gone through airports. I travel a fair amount for business, and, you know, I've been patted down many, many times. I don't know why we have to go through all of this. I mean, I've gone through and I've flown to Israel on El Al, and they do a lot of screening. They do these interviews and so forth. They handle it quickly and professionally. And I'm telling you right now, I am a former cancer patient. I'm not going through an X-ray. They can throw me in jail. They can pat me down. I'm not going through an X-ray.
Well, see, and I'm not a real worry ward about the X-rays, but at the same time, I go through hundreds of them now. I've been tempted to get a radiation badge like they have at the hospital for radiologists, and I'm sure they would tell me that I can't go through the screener with that. But I did notice that the other day they are studying the effect of the radiation on their screeners. But what about me? What about freaks? I go through these X-rays all the time. The bottom line, though, is I want safety and security. But I think we're somehow spending so much time on the people who would not attack us that I'm afraid that they aren't spending enough time on the people who would attack us, people who've been to Yemen, people who've been to Afghanistan, people who've been to Pakistan, people who are in this country who are students from the Middle East. We've got a couple hundred thousand students from the Middle East. In fact, the hijackers that hijacked all the planes were students from the Middle East.
Yeah. So what's the answer, Senator? I mean, are you going to try to do something to fix this business with TSA? Because I got to tell you, I think you're running into, and you're frankly speaking for millions of Americans who travel for business. I mean, we're sick and tired of this stuff, and there's no reason to be burdening us with this kind of a hassle. Can you do something about it? I mean, will there be something done?
After 10 years, I keep asking, and I just got up here, and I've had one committee hearing with the TSA, and I ask them, why don't we have a trusted traveler program? Why don't we have a frequent traveler program? It takes 10 years. Mainly it's because government is incompetent, and government doesn't do anything very efficiently. But that's another argument for why we shouldn't have made the TSA a permanent big union in government. We should have allowed it to develop privately. We should allow the background checks to develop privately. You know, I think after WikiLeaks, I'm not real happy about giving information to the government. They don't seem to protect their own information very well.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. Well, Senator Rand Paul, give us a last word on this, because I think a lot of people are interested in what you and your colleagues up in the Senate are going to try to do to relieve us of this TSA burden.
Well, we'll try, but I would also encourage the public, if you're in the airport tomorrow and they tell you you have to go through a pat-down, tell them you'd rather go back through the machine. And if a million people tomorrow decided that they weren't going to take it, they weren't going to get patted down, we'd change the policy. And I think they're inclined to, but write your congressman, write your senator, tell them you're sick and tired of being patted down, that you're not the enemy. Let's focus on the enemy. Let's do a risk assessment of people who get on the plane, and let's figure out who has some risk factors of people who might attack us.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, thanks very much for joining us. That's a lot of good common sense you just displayed out here. And please give our best regards to your delegation mate. I'm a big fan of Mitch McConnell. Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky. I think he's got the right idea, ladies and gentlemen. Let's all, next time we go through there, if we're stopped, hey, can I go back through? Can I go back through the scanner? I really don't want to go through all the rest of this. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a very peaceful, probably without any problem of violation of the law. We're not hassling anybody. We're simply asking if there's a different way we can cooperate. I like that. I like what Senator Paul said. I hope you do, too. The traveling public, maybe we can make a difference. Maybe we can actually get some of these guys to back off hassling the traveler. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Let's get right back to your calls. Lots more on Newt. Lots more on Romney. Let's start with Gina. Line 2, Gina in Mississippi. Welcome to the Savage Nation. You're on the air, ma'am. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Jed. I appreciate you taking my call.
And
I agree with you that Mitt Romney is tepid, but it's really worse than that. You know, Romney has already shown us that he's not going to take Obama on. He said Obama is a nice guy who is in over his head. Obama is not a nice guy, nor is he over his head.
You're right.
Yeah, Obama's destruction of our economy, our military, our freedom, that's deliberate. And with Mitt Romney, It's worse than him being tepid. His real problem, and a lot of conservatives out here think like I do, Mitt Romney is a liberal. He is a liberal, plain and simple. His record as governor of Massachusetts shows him. It's clear. He is extremely pro-gun control. He's a big government spender. He raised taxes. He increased the state deficit, whether people understand it or not. It's all out there on the internet. You can see his record.
Yeah. Yeah, Gina, I agree with you. I hear all of these things, and it's always been my abiding fear that deep down, Mitt Romney is really not a conservative. And, you know, we know all the points that both candidates push, you know, in terms of their own candidates' conservatism. I look back at Mitt Romney's career, and I don't see a lot of that conservative belief. That's why, you know, when we're talking about this race, and we started the show talking about this, we have a race going on right now that needs to have a ideological conservative, a solid ideological conservative, and I don't think Mitt Romney is that guy. I think Newt Gingrich, like him or hate him, you know, see what you want about him, the man is an ideological candidate. He is comfortable talking about conservative issues. He has a track record of supporting conservative issues. He is someone who can articulate in a hard and fast debate, and I'm not so sure that Romney can do this, Gingrich can push those conservative ideals much better, I think, than Mitt Romney can. But the point really comes down to it, which one of them is going to have the confidence and the ideology and the skill? I keep coming back to the idea right now that when you see, since the South Carolina primary, Mitt Romney coming out there and basically flailing. He sounds like he's upset. He sounds like he's scared. He doesn't really believe that what he's saying is something that's good enough. I mean, if the man can stand up, defend his own wealth, defend his own career, be strong, be clear, that's kind of what we're looking for, and then you have to get to the ideological part. I'm not sure he can ever get there. Hey, Gina, thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Line 3, Mark in Texas. Welcome to the show, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Jeb? You know, I one of the reasons I support Rand's father for president is just because of this government intrusion into our lives. The TSA should be disbanded. So should Homeland Security. It should be broken up back into what it was before. Our freedoms are being hurt. They're now talking about putting they're starting to put the TSA in the highways. They want to put them in the bus depots, in the stations. These are a bunch of degenerates. I don't think they're nice guys. I don't think they're good people at all, because the stuff they do, if I had to work there, I would have quit right away. Okay.
Well, I don't want to go along with all of that. I mean, Mark, we've got a lot of beefs against these guys. I'm not going to call them all degenerates. I think what they are, and I think I said this in the first hour or two of the program, we have a situation here where the TSA is not being subjected to reasonable restraint. And any police force, if you go back in history, you can go back to the Praetorian Guard in the times of the Roman Empire, if you have some sort of a police force, some sort of a elite force that's not really subject to the regular rules, they'll go crazy. They'll do whatever they want to do, and they will push their power into places where they have no business going. So that's the problem with TSA. I think it could be fixed, not with the Obama administration in power. I think it might be a better idea, and I think this is kind of one of the points you were making, to go back to the civilian contractors for airline security. I think we need to disband TSA. I think we need to turn this into a private outfit. Don't forget, when we were told this was going to be a big government agency and all of these government experts, these people were not going to be sloppy like those bad old contractors. They were going to be carefully screened. They were going to be expert. And why then are they telling a 95-year-old woman, as they did last year, that she had to take off her adult diaper? These experts, I don't believe they're experts. I've seen them work. Maybe they're just drudges doing their job, but I don't believe that. I believe these people are given more power than they know what to do with. They need to be reined in. Mark, great call. Thanks for it. All right, we're going to get ready to take another one of those break things. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Coming right back to your calls, we're going to be talking some more. What's going to happen in the State of the Union? What do you think Governor Mitch Daniels should say in response to what we know is coming from Obama? More Solyndra kind of stuff is what Obama wants. More wasteful stimulus spending. This is what this guy wants. Higher taxes. What should Mitch Daniels say to him? Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation, and oh my goodness, we've almost gone through 3 hours. Let's see how many of you we can get to before we have to sign off. Let's go right to line two. Steve in Idaho, this is the Savage Nation. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Newt a little bit. You know, his performance in the debates has convinced me that he's the man for the job. You know, I was a...
Well, really, and let me stop you right there, Steve, because that's interesting. Now, debates are just that. I mean, you're talking back and forth with a couple of people. How did that convince you that he's the right man for the presidency? The presidency is a whole lot more than a debate.
It is, and it's the way he handles himself. He's positive. He... has I'm losing my train of thought.
That's all right. Let me help you out. I mean, Newt is a pretty tough guy. He's a good argumentative kind of person, and he seems to know what he's talking about. I mean, all of those things are good. But in terms of his judgment, his basic knowledge of the world and the facts, I mean, don't you need something more than a couple of really good debates to convince you of that?
Well, yeah, I do, and I've been reading as much as I can online. I'm in a real rural area of Idaho.
Okay.
And,
well, keep reading, Steve. And, you know, like I said in the last hour, be an informed citizen. Read everything you can. Now, I read probably 7 or 8 newspapers every day online. I read everything I can get my hands on that I think is quality stuff. You know, read the American Spectator, read National Review, read Town Hall, read the Wall Street Journal, read the Washington Post, even read the New York Times. It's always good to know what the other side is saying. So get yourself more information, Steve. You're going to make a good decision this fall, I know. All right, hey, thanks for the call. Let's see if we can get on to Jerry in Michigan. Thanks for calling in. This is the Savage Nation. Welcome aboard.
Well, yeah, about Gingrich, I would never vote for him right now, ever.
Why?
Well, because first of all, he keeps saying, you know, he's got great ideas. He's an idea man. He's been in politics for over 30 years. Okay, he's been in bed with Nancy Pelosi over global warming. No, I don't want him at all.
Okay, fair enough. So, are you for Romney then, or are you just saying the heck with all of them?
Well, no, at this point. I'll vote for Romney right now, but it's anybody but who's in the White House right now.
Okay, so if Gingrich got the nomination, you'd still vote for him, right?
Well, I'd have to hold my nose, but yes, I'd vote for him in the fall.
Well, all right, you could do a lot worse. Let me tell you, I promised myself I would never do it again, but last time around, I held my nose and I voted for John McCain. You know what? If I can do that, you can vote for Newt. Hey, good call. Thanks for it. Let's go right along. How about line 6? William in Pittsburgh. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir.
Thank you. How could anybody possibly vote for Newt Gingrich, who has such contempt for the voters, where he turns around and he actually believes that we should believe him when he says Freddie and Fannie paid him $1.6 million to be a historian? And how could you possibly trust anyone? We've had enough broken zippers in the White House. I mean, we don't need some...
All right. I hear you. Look, there are a lot of passions in this race. And, you know, the business of Fannie and Freddie, You know, the lobbying laws in this country are so convoluted. Newt is probably right. I'm sure he's right when he says he wasn't a lobbyist. Does that mean he never talked to anybody on the Hill? Of course not. But let's not get too hung up on that stuff. Let's look at these guys' policies. Let's look at what they really stand for. All right, if you think that his philandering years ago is a disqualifier, you're entitled to do that. And I respect that. Look, that's a big problem for a lot of people. It's a lot of big problem in my mind. But when you see what's gone on in this country, if we have someone who we have faith in to solve these problems, even with that, a lot of people like Gingrich despite all of that. I mean, it seems to me that's something we can't allow to interfere. You have to be able to vote for this guy. If it's Romney, we'll vote for him. If it's Gingrich, we'll vote for him. The basic point here is we have to get Obama out of the White House. All right, sorry we have to sign off. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. I look forward to another time soon when I'll be able to come back. Jed Babin for Michael. I'm out. Savage.